Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
A role and a title can be taken away, but no one can take God's call on your life but Him.
It's about time, because we're going there.
Well, friends, we are rounding up the final episode of season 9 of We're Going There. My name is Bianca Wattis-Oltoff, and I'm the host of We're Going There. And it is always a privilege and always a passion of mine to be able to resource people who are listening or watching on YouTube. Friends, what a season it has been. And as we started at the top of the year, I had this vision of new beginnings, and I wanted to give practical handles to people who are walking through new beginnings, not just the proverbial when January starts, but what happens whether we've lost a job and we have to start again? What happens when we burn a meal and we have to start a meal over again? If you've been with us in this season, you will know that the guests that we've had on the show have given us practical handles on how to hold on when life starts over again. I was a little cautious and reticent about ending the season here with this episode, but I think it is so appropriate. On today's show, we have my personal friend. She's a coach, she's a writer, she's a thinker, Brandi Wilson. She has been in leadership for well over a decade now, and she has been spearheading Leading and Loving It, an organization for women who are leading and, well, loving it. Brandi is a mother of three sons, and she has been very honest and open about a recent transition in her life and what does it look like to start over, or in this case, a new beginning. On today's episode, we're going to be taking a look at the before and after of marriage and divorce. If you're looking for a new podcast, you might want to check out psychologist and author Dr. Allison Cook as she guides you through some of the toughest challenges with wisdom, humor, and grace. Together with friends and experts, we'll unpack the best of psychology from a faith-based perspective. You'll discover how to break free from painful patterns, mend your past, and discover what brings out the best of you. New episodes released every Thursday. For more information on Allison or her podcast, you can check her out on Instagram at Dr. Allison Cook. Brandi, thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate your time.
Oh, I'm so excited to be with you, Bianca. Thanks for having me.
And this is a sign and a hallmark of a good leader. I mean, you literally were in one webinar and now you are doing a podcast interview. I mean, you are just nonstop. And I love that.
Yes.
That what we're going to talk about today, it's like it hasn't slowed you down. You've found a way. And as I mentioned in the introduction, is I've known you for several years.
Yes.
And I have seen you, well, actually more than 7 years. I was thinking about this. I've known you marginally and loosely for 15 years.
God,
so right when I started in ministry and started traveling, yeah. I got to meet you and your life looks so different. I really want to walk through kind of this before and after. I think when we talk about new beginnings, we love talking about like the new and we kind of like glaze and skip over what has been buried, what has deceased, what no longer exists. And so to give those who might not be too familiar with you, beyond your beautiful smile and your charming words and your leadership ability, you kind of had a before and after moment when it came to your marriage. And yes. I know that this is going to resonate with so many of our listeners because so many of our listeners have friends who've gone through divorce or they themselves are divorced and they're kind of in this limbo of like, I want to start over. Where do I begin? So will you take us a little bit on what did your life look before and after? What did it look like?
Yeah. So I married my college sweetheart back in 1996, a long time ago, after 3 years of dating. And we actually, he was a pastor. We started two churches, one in Kentucky, and we served there for 5 years. And then we started Cross Point Church in Nashville, Tennessee, which is where I live now. And we served at Cross Point for 14 years. And I loved being the lead pastor's wife. That's where you and I cross paths.
Yeah.
I love being the lead pastor's wife. I love being able to love on the staff and the staff families, to have them into my home, to do life with them. I taught a mom's Bible study that met on a weekly basis. I was super involved at most of the services with my kids. We had three sons in our marriage, and the church was booming. It was one of the fastest growing churches in America, multiple times over. We had five different locations all over Middle Tennessee, thousands of people coming every weekend. God was really at work in the church. Great things were happening. And then suddenly in 2016, my then pastor husband resigned from the church, and everyone was shocked. My life publicly fell apart. And I think we both know that when your life publicly falls apart, it's been privately falling apart for quite a while. But life as I knew it had ended, and I had to start over. And I pretty quickly realized that the best part of your life falling apart is you get to put the pieces of your life back together the way you want. So that's kind of the personal journey I went on. I ended up buying a home for my kids and I to start over, walked through a really painful public divorce, and then just started thinking, okay, I had a friend, dear friend, take me by the shoulders and say, you know, a role and a title can be taken away, but no one can take God's call on your life but Him. So if you still want to serve, you can do that. Being divorced does not sideline you. Having a marriage that ended does not make you second class. You can still continue to serve at the capacity you want. So I went on staff full time at a nonprofit I helped get off the ground called Leading and Loving It. It exists to help women leaders lead strong and thrive in ministry. So I went on staff there full time. I also started talking to a lot of ladies who had gone through or were walking through a separation or a divorce who just didn't know how to start again. And I talked to so many of them that I thought, I'm just going to get a coaching certification so that I will also have some education to back up what I'm doing. So I got a couple of certifications and started a little, my single mom side hustle is a coaching practice that I work with about 10 hours a week, just helping women start over. I work with a lot of women who are going through divorce. I actually work with a lot of ministry women too, who are just walking through some type of hard time and trying to figure out what is their next best step. So in addition to doing that, I also published a book. I started noticing that as I was talking to all these women who were walking through a divorce, one of the first questions they would ask me is, am I going to be okay? And my immediate response was always, you're going to be better than okay. You're going to need some healing. You are going to have to do some work, but in the end, you will be better than okay. And because of that, ended up writing a book entitled Better Than Okay, Finding Hope and Healing When Your Marriage Ends.
So I feel like my eyebrows have singed off because everything you just said right now, this is what I heard. My life imploded. I picked myself up and now I'm thriving and loving it. Now, for somebody out there that feels as overwhelmed and like impressed simultaneously, I'm putting myself in the lens and filter of somebody who maybe is in the thick of it. Maybe they're in the thick of a loss and, or someone who's listening. And their friend is going through that. So I have a very, very, very dear friend who has been in a over 2-year divorce. And having language now 2 years later, I don't think I knew how to support her 2 years ago. In fact, I've apologized to her, gosh, at least 5 times. Yeah. Because I don't think I really knew how to meet her in that time of need. So what I want you to do is I wrote down the number one question that you got, am I going to be okay? And yeah. I love that that was the title of your book. I want to put some practical handles on this. Yep. I want, and the answers can be both from a friend supporting someone going through divorce or somebody going through divorce. You can classify that as you want. For somebody that's like, I literally feel like I am in the fire right now. What's the first thing that somebody going through this shock of divorce needs to know? And then what's one thing that they can employ in their life to help manage this time?
Yeah. I think the first thing they need to know is it's only one day at a time. I think the emotion of walking through a divorce is brutal. I did give a synopsis and, you know, like an overview of what the last 7 years of my life has looked like. There have been lots of days that I was not okay. There have been lots of days that the bed was hard to get out of, especially initially after that resignation and to know that he didn't want to work on our marriage anymore and that he was walking away from, you know, the church and the ministry and our family unit and our marriage. I was devastated. I remember being so devastated that I would take my kids to school, come home and park my car in the garage and put down the garage door and then go to the second floor of the house. So if anyone came to check on me, I could pretend like I wasn't home. It was embarrassing. I was overwhelmed with more questions than answers. I didn't know what life was going to look like. I was a leader who wasn't leading, a mom who thought she couldn't provide, a woman who loved being a wife that was no longer a wife. So life was really difficult and hard to navigate. So I did probably step back and I went from being surrounded by thousands of people every weekend to I talked to three people, three girlfriends, and a therapist. So my life really shrunk and I was okay with that. That actually felt safe to me. I felt like that was a community that was there to support me and love me and help me get through it. So I think the first thing I would say to someone who is in the thick of it is one day at a time. So all you have to focus on is getting through today, because what ends up happening to us as we jump to the future. I don't know what 6 months is going to look like. Where are the kids and I going to live? I don't know what 4 years is going to look like. How am I as a single mom going to afford college? I don't know what job I'm going to work that's going to help pay the bills. I don't know, you know, silly things like I don't know how to use the weed eater and I have a yard that needs to be cut. I have grass that needs to be mowed and trimmed. So we jump ahead to all these unknowns and we can't even function in the today. So I would say you are here to get through one day at a time. Do what needs to be done today. Have the conversations you need to have. Make the phone calls. Definitely get in some time with God. But have the conversations you need to have today. Now, if you were a friend walking someone through, one of my reasons for writing Better Than Okay was to give that glimpse of what someone's life is like to help the people who are support systems of people walking through a divorce. I, like you, have a friend who got divorced about 3 years ahead of me, and I had to go back and apologize to her after my divorce and say, I didn't show up for you the way that I should have because I didn't know. So I think lots of times the people we love, we try to rush them through their grief because it's so hard for us to see them hurting. So I think a practical takeaway is give people time to grieve, allow them to go through their process of grieving. Grieving is natural. Grieving is part of healing. If you can't feel it, you can't heal it. So take the time to acknowledge what was lost and allow that person to have that space that they need to grieve. We do it with good intentions. We do it because we love them. Say, oh, come on, let me pull you out of your grief and take you to the next thing. But we definitely need to allow them to feel all that has been lost so that they can then come out of that on the other side.
Okay, so let's just make this really real. And I'm asking you to tell yourself because someone is going to be set free with knowing that there's other people that just don't get it. So what was the worst thing that somebody told you while you're in the throes of your marriage ending?
I know exactly what it is. I remember being at a coffee shop that's close to where I live, and I ran into a lady from our church who hadn't seen in the process of the divorce. And I think this was right after my divorce. It was final. But a lot of stuff had come out at that point. A lot of, you know, truth had been revealed. Secrets had been uncovered. Things that had been hidden were coming to light. So I knew a lot more than I did initially when he just resigned. And I ran into this lady at the coffee shop and she was like, how are you? And, you know, I'm just starting to get my feet under me again and get some confidence and really think I can do this. And I'm like, I'm doing okay. I am going to make it. And she said, you know what? God is going to bring you two back together. I know it. I know that it's going to be redeemed. I know that this is just a short time. And I had gotten to the point at then, Bianca, that I knew so much that I was like, I don't want him. I am actually better off. God is going to restore me. So it had to shift from a restoration of my marriage, a redemption of, you know, my marriage to, okay, God, what can you do to restore me? How can you redeem my story? So that was probably the worst piece of advice, somebody speaking, quote unquote, their truth over me, knowing that that was not going to be the healthiest thing for me. And I knew at that point, because of what God was aware of, that he didn't want me in that either.
So as I'm listening to this, I think my heart breaks on two levels. One, because your friend, the church friend, was so well-intentioned and that was like her heart and her desire. And I love that. But then my heart hurts for you because, you know, how do you even respond to something like that? And now as a church leader, there's people in our congregation who are going through very painful, messy divorces, whether by circumstance or by choice. And so I have a question. Now, as a church leader, where have you seen the church get it wrong?
You know, here's the thing. I give a lot of grace to church leaders because just like me to my friend who got divorced before me, you really don't know unless you walk through it. So anytime I'm talking to single moms who feel like there's not a place for them in the church, I'm like, the church doesn't know. The leaders don't know. They only know what they've been through. So I give a lot of grace. I have the opportunity to speak at a church in outside of Charleston, South Carolina in a couple of weeks. And I was talking to one of the pastors prepping for that message. And she said, I am so excited to have you on stage because you're the first divorced person we've ever had speak. And she said, we do relationship series all the time. Every year there's a relationship series. We always focus on marriage. We never put someone up there who feels familiar to the people who are divorced. So I think, honestly, being divorced is another area of diversity that we just often don't think through as leaders. I spoke at our Leading and Loving It conference last year, and there was a group of single girls who were there from DC, and their biggest feedback to the lady who had brought them was like, it was so nice to see another single woman on stage teaching. So I think, you know, if you don't know, then you don't understand if you haven't experienced it, you don't know what the people in your congregation need. And that is an area, statistics say that 50% of marriages end in divorce. That is Christian and non-Christian. It does not change if these people are churched. Divorce still affects 50% of marriages. So that means a large part of your population has walked through or will walk through a divorce at some point in their lifetime. So to be able to give them positive, you know, reflections of people who have walked through a divorce and still God is using them in their life is something that those people really can identify with.
Ooh, Brandy said so well. So since we're on this roll of you just being incredibly transparent, I've seen you live this very beautifully. The book, I think, launched you into a different realm of connectability with so many different people. It feels almost like a taboo word within the church to talk about, you know, were there biblical grounds? What defines biblical grounds? Are we talking about a conservative viewpoint or a liberal viewpoint of divorce? I mean, there's so many nuances within that. But I want to talk, if you feel comfortable, with being married for, you were married for how long?
20 years.
Good grief. Okay. So one, I affirm you because that's strength in and of itself. So congrats on really putting in 100% of your heart, your mind, your soul, your body, your time, your talents, your energy, your effort, your fidelity to a marriage.
Thank you.
How jarring was it though to be married for 20 years and then go into singleness? How's that been for you?
You know, it's so interesting. I will say, to be super transparent, I realized once I got divorced, my life was actually easier with just the kids and I.
Hold on. I asked for honesty and this is so great. I've never heard this. Wait a minute. If you feel comfortable, can you explain to what depths or how do you mean?
I was in a very dysfunctional relationship. I was with a very unhealthy partner and I myself was not the healthiest I needed to be. So when you're living in that dysfunction and that chaos, it is just exhausting. So when I got divorced and started over in this, you know, house that was a lot smaller, that felt cozy, comfortable, safe for the kids and I just lived here a couple of months and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't get over how much lighter I feel. I felt released from a lot of things that had held me back. I felt freedom from captivity that had been silencing me for years. I felt like I was the bit woman who Jesus healed and she stood up straight again. And I realized that my life with the kids and I was actually an easier, lighter life than what I'd been living in my unhealthy marriage.
Wow. Okay. So I'm sure there were things, whether you did them or you've seen other people do them, that might feel like it didn't serve them in the best way. Let me phrase that whole thing over again because I have to be direct.
Okay.
What were mistakes that you made or you've seen mistakes that others have made in the process of going through the divorce that you're like, oh, wow, I wish I wouldn't have done that or I wish they wouldn't have done it differently?
Yes. Talking negatively about their ex in front of their children. is a huge thing I see a lot. Mm-hmm. I think your kids deserve honesty, especially in a scenario when there has been a lot of secrets and hiding. When we moved into this house, I told my kids moving in, this is a house of truth. We have lived with secrets. We have lived with lies. That is not the life we live anymore. I can help you with anything. I can help you figure out anything if you tell me the truth. So this became a house of truth. Now, with that, I didn't talk negatively about their dad. However, if they came to me with a scenario where they were having a hard time with their dad, I would affirm what they were feeling because I knew that I had walked through that with him as well. Mm. So I think what is good for you as a parent is for you to teach your kids to trust their intuition and what they're feeling so that they can see the truth of the situation to affirm them. But you don't talk terribly about the spouse. I'll give you a situation to explain it. Let's say your child comes home and they say, you know, dad never tells the truth. He's always telling things and then they don't happen. What he says doesn't happen, or what he said is not the truth, or an email that was sent is not the truth. It would be really easy for the parent to say, you know what, your dad is a no good, da da da, and just to talk trash. Instead of doing that, I think what is important for the kid is for you to affirm what they're feeling is accurate. So you can say, I understand that sometimes your dad has an inability to tell the truth. You're affirming what is going on in your child's life in a way. You're affirming their intuition. You're affirming what they're experiencing. They're going to learn to that. Okay. What I'm feeling in my gut is actually the truth, but you don't do that by trash talking the other parent. So I think that is a really important thing for you to learn as a parent is to how to have honest discussion with your kids, but not talk negatively about the other parent. That's huge.
That's so good. Okay. So what about someone who is going through divorce? So I'll say it's a fictitious scenario, but I know somebody who's going through a divorce. There are no children involved and they've only been married for 3 years. Mm-hmm. There were some things that she was unaware of that he was involved with, and now it's all come to light. And though there wasn't adultery, she feels like there's enough grounds and they've tried everything and he's not changing. So if there's not kids involved, what are mistakes or hurdles that you see women making going through divorce that you could caution them with?
I think lots of times women date too soon.
You better tell it.
I have even dated too soon. Now, I would not date until my divorce was final.
Okay, in the state of Tennessee, how long is the divorce proceeding? Because I know in like North Carolina, it's a year. Vegas, it's a day. In Texas, it's 24 hours. What is it for you?
It is, if you have children, it's 90 days. So it's 3 months. Now, my divorce took 6 months and I was separated 6 months before that. So I was in more of a, and then there was stuff going on behind the scenes. So I was in more of a 12 to 18 month scenario. But the divorce from the day I filed to the day that it was final was a 6 month process.
Wow. Okay. So as a friend, how do I show up for somebody who's just like, I just want to date. I want to get back out there. I've seen this not just with like regular friends, but I had a friend in ministry who is leading a church, and good grief, the ink on the divorce papers was still wet when they started dating again. And I was like, I don't want to tell you what to do. I just don't think this is wise. I don't think it's wrong. Yes. I just don't think it's wise. So give me like three things that you've seen from yourself or from others, because I just want to affirm you, Brandy. Like, I've seen how much time you've taken to process your life, to heal from pain, even writing this book. Like, sometimes we have these traumatic experiences and we're like, oh, let me tell the world about it.
Yeah.
I think you've really taken your time before you've made anything super public. And so give me like three signs that you realized, okay, I think I'm ready to date again.
Yes. I will tell you, one of the signs was when you come out of a relationship that is unhealthy, you're going to have baggage with that relationship. So I knew I did not want to carry that baggage into the next relationship. So I did a ton of therapy. I did intensives. I worked with the same therapist weekly for 7 years. Just loved her. She was so good for me. So one of the signs that I was ready to start dating is, for me, I actually started investing in calling the people I was dating by their name rather than their occupation. I had been so rejected in my marriage that when I first started dating, I would talk to my girlfriends and I would say, oh, I'm going out with a realtor, or oh, I'm going out with a police officer. And I never attached a name to it. So when I got to the point that I could say, oh, I'm going out with Chris, then I was like, oh, I think I might be ready to start dating. And by dating, I mean going on dates, not necessarily a relationship, but just going on dates. Another way I knew I was married or ready to start dating again.
Wait, are you seeing these balloons?
Yes. It's turned off on Zoom. It must not be turned off over here.
I think this is hilarious. Okay, so anyone watching on YouTube, you caught this, but let me just interrupt the podcast to tell all of our podcast listeners that while Brandy was talking, balloons came up. Oh, they're doing it again. Okay. If you're listening to the podcast, please go at minute 24 and check out the affirmation. I'm going to call it like Holy Spirit emojis. The Holy Spirit co-signed on your wisdom to pause the dating. Oh, I can't even make this up. This is amazing. Okay. Carry on.
Funny. I think another way I knew I was ready to date is when I started dating people, I just wanted to get to know them. I initially would go into dates and I was doing so much personal work that I would go too deep too quickly. So I want to know, like, do you have a therapist? How often do you see them? Do you know your attachment style? What is, like, I was going all in, Bianca, on date one. And I had to get to the point where I just needed to know whether or not we had common interest. Is this somebody I want to see again, by figuring out what are their hobbies? How do they spend their free time? You know, that kind of basic stuff. What's their favorite food? What do they like to do on a Friday night? So I went too deep too quickly. And when I could just go on a date with like no strings attached of, I'm not here with an agenda to see how much personal work you've done on yourself. I'm here to actually get to know you. That was another sign I was ready to date. And then the third one is a bit embarrassing, but when I started dating, I would talk to my best friend the next day on the phone and she'd say, how was it? And I'd say, well, I'm not going to marry him. And she put up with that for a few months before she said to me, I think your dating life might be more successful if the question you used to filter your date was, would I like to see him for a second date rather than do I want to marry him? Because, you know, I would love to be in a permanent relationship again, but that's a very unhealthy filter with lots of expectations to be using on a first date. So I had to definitely pull it back to, do I like this person? Because I think when we start dating, here's a fourth, I'll throw in a fourth. But when we start dating, we often walk into these dates thinking, do they like me? Do they think I'm cute? Do they think I'm funny? Mm-hmm. Do they find me interesting? When we should really be focusing on how we feel about that person. Do I like them? Would I like to see them again? Do we have anything in common? So the focus becomes off of you and goes on to, how do I feel about them? And would I like to see them again?
Oh, this is so good. I mean, literally, this was not an intention to like sell your coaching, but sister, I'm over here like, listen, if anyone needs a dating coach, if anyone needs like a how to heal from divorce with clarity and wisdom and confidence, hit up Brandy. Okay. Brandy, you can tell that you've done so much work, and I hate that language because it's so therapeutic, but it's also so true. You've done so much work on your soul, on your heart, your mind, your relationships. You've put parenting as a priority while not forsaking yourself. You've helped other people in the journey. You have not been disparaging publicly or privately. Well, I don't know, maybe in the private places of your eye you have, which there's grace for that too.
People,
I want to say just thank you for your wisdom and your insight. And this is what I want. You are 7 years removed from this divorce. And for somebody, as we wrap up the season of new beginnings, they just feel like they've lost their sense of hope. Can you speak to the person who has gone through a divorce or some sort of emotional loss? It could be a divorce of a friendship. It could be a divorce of a spouse. Whatever it is, there is that significant death of a relationship.
Yeah.
Will you speak to them 7 years removed, walking a life that is full? And what hope can you give them?
Yeah. The hope that they're not alone. Bianca, I think that reality that we think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in the fiery furnace. And when the king looked in there, they were not alone. God was with them in the middle of it. And God was with them in the beginning, and he's going to be with you in the end. So you are not alone. You are seen. You are loved. You have a God who wants to hold your hand. And God can handle your disappointment. He can handle your frustration. He can handle your anger. I have a chapter in my book called I Cussed a Lot, because there were times when I just did not understand why I was walking this life that I ended up living. But the thing that remained consistent was God. And he continued to stay consistent when the person who's supposed to love me the most left. God continued to show up and to show me he loved me in big and small ways. So you are not walking this journey alone.
Brandy, I'm so excited for your time and your wisdom. For more information on Brandy, you could follow her on social media, Love Brandy Wilson, and that's Brandy with an I. You can also check out her website. There'll be a link to all of her information, as well as a link to Amazon, so that you could purchase this book for you or a friend that's going through divorce, to remind them that they will be better than okay. Brandy, I am so grateful for you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for being on the show. And if this podcast has been a resource for you, consider sharing online or even subscribing so you don't miss any episodes. And if you want to see the balloons affirming Brandy's decision and her kindness, you can watch on YouTube as well. Go ahead and subscribe and share, and we will catch you next season. Thanks, friends.